SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Thursday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, stevebick.com. Actually, thinking about Sirius XM online, I just, this morning, in fact, did an update, and there had been, when I was traveling, I couldn't get the app to coordinate with the car. One of the cars I had didn't have SiriusXM, which is outlandish. but this update's supposed to happen to see that, you know, the update's supposed to fix that, so be able to, as I said a couple months ago, I'm trying to use it more. The app, you know, when I'm out and about listening to the network, and I hope you could, you know, considered giving SiriusXM as a subscription as a Christmas gift. Nothing says I love you more than giving your significant other or a child to a friend, right? I mean, that's a budget. It's a very fair budget. Item fits your budget. Give them 6 months. Give them a 6 month subscription. Get them kicked off on SiriusXM. There's a good idea. I've said this before. I get one subscription. You know, being on the network. The second one for the other car, mine and Tina's. Tina actually gets the free one. I have to pay for myself. So, and happy to do it. Because it's terrific, and I'll take the opportunity to, you know, considering our last live broadcast of the calendar year, the broadcast year, thank Steve Cohen and everybody at SiriusXM for another great year. And in January, we'll come back and start 14th year here on SXM. And, you know, the year, you get a very reflective mood, of course, at the end of the year. And, you know, there's plenty of handicapping to do today, including a look at Saturday's Fairgrounds card. Marcus Hirsch will join us. We'll have our Thursday lineup come through and talk to Tony and Steve and Rich Eng, Hammer. I want to get Hammer in today because we're not going to do a Friday show. So after being unavailable the last two Fridays, we will catch up with Rick today. But when you reflect on the year, certainly there's some headlines that come to mind and dominated. And I suppose the Triple Crown headlines the year, but, you know, sharing the headlines would be the sports betting story, undoubtedly. I mean, that precipitated or certainly moved along and brought to a head by the racing industry, by one entity, by Dennis Drazen and Monmouth Park. And, you know, years from now, when, you know, when all the dust is settled and the, you know, the sports betting environment is well established, certainly hope that that's recalled, because there's going to be, you know, there's going to be new businesses created and, you know, wholesale changes, obviously, in the world of sports. And, you know, racing has been responsible in a lot of ways, in no small manner of establishing gambling, period, in this country. It was the first sport of any kind, and you know, it's long established, you know, legalities instrumental in, you know, gaining and holding, you know, what was really looked down upon widely. I mean, let's not pretend that, you know, gambling wasn't prohibited and you know, really until mid-century and everything else. It wasn't until, you know, Las Vegas, any gaming that was going on was backroom stuff and bookie action and so forth. But, you know, horse racing was the place setter and the placeholder and helped break this new ground in sports betting. It was also a year that was so acutely punctuated by notable passings. And, you know, right at the end of last year and into the beginning of this year, with Leroy Jolly and Jack Vanberg, I mean, we lost legends. And then all throughout the year, there just was a lilting and sad parade of deaths in every area. And that's not, you know, that's not unusual, but it did seem, I've said repeatedly that it really felt like a year that was, you know, more pronounced in passings than usual, including, you know, some people that, you know, really were taken young and, you know, in this day and age anyway, young, you know, people that were robbed of their health too. Bill Perry, of course, just in recent weeks that comes to mind, and Rick Violette, you know, weeks before, and then, you know, people that aren't necessarily involved directly, but, you know, owners and media, Bob McNair's death recently, and of course the John Asher passing. I mean, these there's so many. Manny Ikeza, I should include, actually, on the horse side. It was a very good year for the sales side, the breeding and sales side, obviously, and American Pharoah with a great impact with his sales produce. There was sadness too, and reminder, there always is, but a reminder this year of the peril, and I mentioned Ikeza. And you had at least the two deaths that, you know, we discussed at length, and I suppose maybe Tony will touch on later too. I mean, Jose Flores is passing in March. I mean, it was just so shocking and really, I think, shook a lot of people up. And then Odonis Acuna, the exercise rider at Churchill, weeks ago. And you also had one that I've mentioned a couple of times, but I don't think has gotten nearly the attention. Nikila Black, the woman that was paralyzed on the fair, the Idaho Fair circuit, and, you know, she's working toward rehab, but, you know, she's paralyzed. She's an attorney. When she hasn't been riding, and, you know, a reminder of her injury. Every day, I mean, every day you watch a race, keep that, you know, you keep the jocks in, you know, in your mind, and help when you can. There's always so many, you know, notable headlines and stories to absorb it, you know, when you're coming to the end of the year. You had a lot of new young horsemen come to the game and start their careers. You had Norm Cassie and Cherie DeVoe, and you had a couple of others that have been working at it, and it kind of became a little more prominent even than a couple of years into their careers, like Rudy Brissett and Jonathan Thomas and Ray Handel. I mean, there's so many. We love, we talked to most of them this year, I think. I hope we did. If we missed any, we'll get them next year. So it's been a good year. I guess I'm easily accused of of saying that they're all good. I hope you've had a good year, and I hope you've enjoyed the coverage of the game and advanced your own approach to horseplay. Yeah, that's, I think, at the center of everything we do is trying to help players understand things more and improve how they bet. And, you know, there's no better way to, you know, to enjoy the sport than by honing the craft of betting and winning. And even when we're doing things that don't seem directly tied to, you know, to adding to your knowledge, the pedigree stuff that contributes, the horse health, Dr. Allday. We won't talk to Steve obviously before the end of the year, but we got him last Tuesday, which was good. What you learn from him and about the care and maintenance of the well-being of the horses, and every, trying to tie everything, really, when you add it all up. Even if you don't realize it, it's helping you learn more about the sport. So that's our mission, and we hope that we contributed to a good year for you. And whether you've been listening since 2005, or if you just came across the show in the last 2 weeks, we appreciate you listening. And Casey and I will talk later. None of this happens without him, and also without, of course, the support of ExpressBet and Twin Spires and the New York Racing Association, Santa Anita, Hill and Dale, the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Foundation, the Pennsylvania Thoroughbred Horsemen and Breeders, and I'll get to everybody. The Hong Kong Jockey Club, be sure to thank everybody for a terrific 2018. And most of all, you guys listening. Back after this at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Yeah, Express Bet. Give me 12 grand to win on the 9 at Gulfstream. Yeah, yeah, that's what I said. 12 grand. 12,000 smackaroos. 12,000...
Mikey! Hang up the phone! You crazy? You can't bet that much.
Quiet, Joey. I'm practicing.
Practicing? Practicing for what? Divorce?
No, I'm practicing my Pegasus Big Bet with my friends at ExpressBet.
Ooh, the contest is back?
And better than ever. All you gotta do is register for free at ExpressBet.com. Then you'll earn entries for every bet you make until January 14th. The more you play, the more chances you have to win.
And you win a $12,000 bet on the Pegasus?
And a VIP trip to Gulfstream with airfare, hotel, tickets, it's all included. Now, if you'll excuse me, I got some more practicing to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, ExpressBet, you still there? Good. Like I was saying,
ExpressBet is the official online wagering partner of the Pegasus World Cup. Visit ExpressBet.com to bet today. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
All the lights are coming on. All the trees are on display now, and it's cold now. I don't feel like going home now. I wish that I could stay. Well, I wish that I could walk. Well, I wish that I could walk. All the lights are coming on now. How I wish that it would snow now. I don't feel like going home now. I wish that I could stay.
We're back at the Ravenettes. Such a good song. We had fun yesterday with Pete, and I got a kick out of, you know, when I listed the songs that that Pete had selected. I saw where that J.D. McLaughlin had he picked up on it on Twitter. It was pretty good, and he liked it that his album and his Christmas album and was singled out on. I don't know if he researched or looked at where it came from, that it was on a sports radio show, but that's all right. I'm sure that he appreciates it. Haven't heard from everybody else though yet. I haven't heard, and we're not going to hear from Leroy Carr, but you know, it was fun. Let me get a call. George tried to reach us yesterday, Casey tells me, and I missed it. I'm sorry, George. And George, a year-end message. Good morning. Merry Christmas.
A year-end message and a year-end request from me. But first of all, I hope to see you down here this winter, and all the best for the season.
I appreciate it.
My request is that I was shocked to learn the other day that Cash Asmussen is not in the Hall of Fame.
Hmm.
You know, I was talking to his ex-wife, Cheryl, the other day, and she brought it to my attention. I asked her, actually, and she said he was not. You know, that's a travesty. that he's not in the Hall of Fame. You look back at his accomplishments and see what he did. He revolutionized a lot of the way guys ride today.
It's true.
You know, and I'm going to make an all-out effort this year to see why Cash is not in there and to get him in. Because like Eddie De La Russa said when he went in, he asked them, is Sandy Hawley in there? And they said no. He said, well, then it's not a Hall of Fame.
There's a few. Listen, George, you know, George, this is a sore topic with a lot of people. I mean, the Craig Perrett. What about the Craig Perrett case?
Craig belongs too. But I think if you look back at Cash's record and see what he did, not only on the local stage when he was the apprentice, Eclipse Award apprentice, but look what he did internationally. Look at the races he won in France and England. I mean, you know, his career should land him in the Hall of Fame without any question.
Yeah, this is, you know, this is... So it's become a weird dynamic with the Hall of Fame. We had a little bit of this discussion a couple of weeks ago on a horse front with My Juliet. And Steve Haskins been banging that drum.
Jake Pribman. Well, he's right about banging that drum.
I agree.
You know, they put horses from a century ago in ahead of her. I mean, that's not right.
Well, there's a distinct.
She's condemned by the fact that she was a sprinter, right?
Well, the sprint scenario at least has been addressed somewhat. There had been this big backlog of sprinters. There was someone on the selection committee that blocked sprinters for an extended period that had this notion that they didn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. It's the most bizarre concept I had ever heard. I mean, that the most frequently run races in the country, three quarters, and we're not going to honor the accomplishments of sprinters. The whole thing was ridiculous. And so there was this huge backlog.
In support of that, before I go, I'll let you know. Bart Cummings told me years ago that it's much more difficult to prepare a horse to sprint than it is to run three consecutive distance races in 3 weeks.
Interesting. And I think we've had that, thinking back, I think we've had that conversation or that inclination came from John Nehru, too.
Well, I guess
as
Bart,
well.
Bart did it with a lot of horses between the Caulfield Cup and all the other big races that they run, the Cox Plate and everything, they run within 2 weeks of each other, so... You know, and he said it's harder to prepare a sprinter than it is to prepare a horse for those three races.
Speaking of which, you know, I've been giving out the book recommendations to everybody, and a couple of years back, you sent me the Bart Cummings biography, the Bart, My Life, that's a well recommended. The other day, I talked about the Peter Pan book. Speaking of Australia, but you want to read about one of the greatest horsemen in the world, in the history of world equine.
Yeah, and I kept the autographed one, and I sent you the other one.
That's okay.
But his grandson, is actually training the Godolphin string in Australia right now, and he's doing really well.
I saw that, actually. When we were talking, we talked
right,
some
well,
of the Godolphin stuff.
I won't hold you up. I don't want to
not at all
from all your things at the end of the year. So I hope to see you down here sometime. And we're expecting 70-mile-an-hour winds tonight. So wait a little. We'll come yet.
No, don't worry. John Parada taught me. John's theory is that if you're coming for warm weather, you don't go to Florida until after Valentine's Day. That's John's.
He's got it.
That's
right.
John's theory.
All the best,
George, best wishes. You too. Merry Christmas, our man George in Miami. And, of course, George with a long history of helping jockeys come to the United States. And, you know, in fact, on that topic, you saw the Cuba agreement, right, for the baseball? You know, finally, an open door for Cuban ball players get to come. With less issue, George brings up a good point. Every so often, not just during the Hall of Fame voting period, but at other times, this raises its head. And you know what? I'll say to bring that up with Tony, too. We talked about My Juliet, but not about the human side of it. And Johnny, you know, next time we hear from Johnny, he could address the Sandy Hawley point as well. You know, some people have gotten in fairly recently that it is unusual or seems a little odd that there's you know, not to take away from their accomplishments, but it did feel like there's a few that have leapfrogged somehow over a generation of rider that, you know, piled up plenty of accomplishments, and it isn't just numeric, you know, how many Triple Crown races you won or so forth. It's more than that. The Perret situation. I would put Craig Perret in ahead of Cash Asmussen personally, but I appreciate George's, you know, spin on it, absolutely. So interesting that came up as a year end. I didn't necessarily think of that as a year end. And, you know, on the Hall of Fame, I mentioned the severe injury to Nakila Black, and of course the two deaths, but don't forget, Victor Espinosa had a frightening spill. He has come back apparently a lot quicker than expected, and he's pushing for a January return. But I mean, frankly, the fact that he's returning at all is a little remarkable. Watch for Victor and Andy. What Andy mentioned, Kendrick Carmouche too. Carmouche, who it always seems that riders, particularly, you know, veteran journeymen, that they get hurt at the worst possible times, when they're in the midst of really kind of reaching the next level. You know what I mean? And I think the first person I think about with this is Joe Bravo, who got hurt coming into the prime period in Florida a few, you know, many winters ago. Now it's probably 10 years ago. I mean, Joe was on a real roll and was getting into big barns and, you know, was really knocking on the door to, you know, shoulder his way in with the, you know, the elite riders, and he got badly hurt, and Kendrick Carmouche was the same way. I mean, Kendrick has made this steady climb from admittedly the B circuit and from Philadelphia into New York, and had really established himself and seemed to be really on the roll, and then you have to get it back going again, and it's hard. I mean, look at Rajiv. I mean, Rajiv is now he's on his second major injury, and it you've heard this from Rich Migliori, you've heard it from Tony. It takes, even when you do come back, it'll take another 4 to 6 months, not just to get into 100% riding shape and. You know, being physically, you know, back at your peak, but getting your business back, getting back into the barns that, you know, where you might have been, you know, because by the time you get back to full strength, the other barns have moved on. I mean, they have to, you know, they have to reach for the best riders they can at the time, as they need them. So you, all of a sudden, I mean, it's hard. It's, I mean, you know, Think about that. If you had time off from work, if you got hurt and and you know somebody came in and it was doing your job and you had to start from a couple of notches back below where you had taken time off, what would that be like? The Riders, it's a challenge in so many different ways. We got a challenging pick six sequence. I've written up the races for Aqueduct. And all but the fourth. The fourth is making me a little nuts. And I'm going to make a final determination once we get some scratches. Let's see if there's any changes. But we'll get a chance to run through this sequence again with some final decisions later on. I'm going to get an initial look. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, Marcus Hirsch is going to join us. And the card on Saturday at Fairgrounds, even though we're not doing weekend preview in its full form, we got to look at this card, and Marcus will help us with it. We'll get some year-end thoughts from him as well. And of course, as I mentioned a couple different times yesterday and even last week, the qualifier Saturday. You got time, but try to get to Fairgrounds on Saturday and play your way to Vegas. Probably expecting at least 10 seats to be given away in that super qualifier. And speaking of NTRA, I saw where Alicia Wince-Hughes is going to move from Bloodhorse to NTRA as the Director of Communications. And of course, most recently, job occupied by Jim Mulvihill, who himself went to the racetrack. So Alicia Wince-Hughes, congratulations to her, I guess, for, it's a shift, you know, when you go from journalist to, you know, PR type responsibilities. But she'll be sending out NHC missives, undoubtedly, as part of her new job. Let's reach for Marcus Hirsch. Back after this at the races. SiriusXM.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens.
Sirius XM Radio.
We watch the children playing beside the Christmas tree. The presents are wrapped up, it's beautiful. And secretly, a gift still has.
We're back at the races. Another of my favorites, the Pumpkins, who are are out on tour. They're in Europe right now, and I got to see when they're coming back the U.S. because I never saw them the first opportunity. And actually, considering we're going to go to Marcus Hirsch in Chicago, there's a tie-in too, of course. Billy Corgan about his wild
eye. We're all seniors now, senior citizens, the rock stars and the Chicago Turf Riders.
No, I was going to say Cubs fans.
Oh, yeah, baseball.
You a Pumpkins fan?
I am not. I'd loathe them.
That was all right. Is there an explanation behind this?
They're trite sellout.
Got bleeped. That's you can't get bleeped. It's on Sirius XM. You can say whatever you want.
Really? Don't
yes.
tell me that.
Yes, for years you've had opportunity.
Big mistake, Steve.
All the things that you can't say in the pages of the Daily Racing Form, you can say here.
You know, I used to push the envelope with that a little bit. I got away with some stuff that I didn't imagine, but I think those days are past.
Love it. Well, I got to say, I did see a note from you that... And this is high praise from you. You mm-hmm. suggested that this card Saturday at Fairgrounds is the best you've ever seen before a January 1st.
Well, some are even going beyond that, Steve.
Hmm.
It's good. I don't want to get carried away. There's no doubt in my mind that in the close to maybe two decades, it's getting there. Close to two decades, I've been covering that track, at least to some extent. It's top to bottom. It's surely the best card before the first of the year. I just don't. There's definitely never been. The stakes are good, but beyond that, their ability to card all these maiden races, they've never had that kind of stock before in those divisions.
You know what's amazing about that, and I'm glad you brought that up right off the top, because it's stunning to me, given how many maiden races the taproot backstretch in Kentucky, given so many horses that came down from Kentucky to set up shop in New Orleans, it's amazing that there's this many maidens that are. It really bodes well, I would think, for the whole meet and basically for 2019 in general.
Well, possibly. I mean, the question to me is how many of them are going to wind up at Oaklawn,
right?
With the have such an accelerated purse structure, and you know, a lot of the trainers, there's some crossover. So I mean, we'll see. I agree. I mean, I can't contradict the basic premise. It does bode well, and getting all these out here now, you know, get you some winners. You can maybe make some allowance races if you want, and get horses started off. It's great that they put them all together and split some races, let them go like that. So, I mean, yeah, you know, handicapping wise, it's tough. There's a lot of guessing that's going to be going on, but I would rather see these kind of races, both from, you know, in terms of looking at it and handicapping and gambling, and also just to support the general racing program, of course, too.
No doubt, and I will make this point that based on Steve Asmussen's visit the other day, because he and I were talking about the horses coming out of the Springboard and out of Remington with mm-hmm. Remington closing.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I mean, he'll keep plenty of horses in that region with Sam Houston opening, et cetera. But he, you know, he said the 1-2 finishers from the Springboard, for instance, they were on their way to Hot Springs the other day, and yet here he is. I mean, peppering this card. He's got horses in the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, seventh, ninth, 11th, 12th, and 13th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a major participant. He has quietly not, well, he's a smart person, and he wants to maximize the money his owners can make. I'll just put it that way. And also, he has not had a lot of confidence, I don't think, at times that he's going to get the right races to go in New Orleans for his young horses. So his concentration with his better stock in a lot of cases has been elsewhere, but he has run a considerable amount already. He obviously has a lot of horses to disperse and find spots for, and he's already done well with some maidens, like the colt named Roguish Win, who is pretty impressive, and he's got one in the colt in the first level allowance race early on the card Saturday called Wicked Indeed. So he obviously is he's stocked with a lot of talented young horses, which is unsurprising to say the least.
Very much. And in fact, at least based on the way he reacted with us the other day, the one mm-hmm. that he's excited about, I mean, he brought it up almost unsolicited, Gunnet. He was clearly, you could tell, in the fourth race, the mile and a 16th event, then there's two of those. They basically split that race, and Gunnet wears the two, gets Ricardo Santana Jr., makes a second start after coming out of the productive King Ford Harvey Wallbanger race on October 28th. This is from Andy Pope.
Did he sound like $2.6 million worth of excited?
He kind of did. He kind of did.
Yeah. Because there is some motivating influence there to support your clients, I would suppose. It's interesting. You don't see him start too many horses off going two turns, two-year-olds especially. And that was an interesting move to do that with this horse. I'm interested to see what he can do in this race. I don't think that it's this isn't an especially tough race for the level. If the horse takes a reasonable step forward, and he didn't have a great journey first time out either from post 11 in a race that we have coded pace wise favoring closers, generally speaking, he should be formidable, possibly at shorter odds than 7-2, although he was almost 6-1 first time out. I ended up, I haven't completely finalized my selections yet for the racing form, but at this point I have the one horse in that race, Equivocal, on top, who looks like a good stretch-out candidate to me, and I think will be a considerably better price than Gunnett.
That's Rudy Brissett, and this is the ever-ubiquitous ownership Windstar China Horse Club et al. We're seeing a lot of those. There's also a Windstar Eddie Woods first-timer in
correct,
here.
For that, Stidham.
Stidham. Yep.
I have Ballyhack. Not seen Stidham with any Windstar horses, but that does not mean he hasn't had any. It's just not a common partnership. You sounded, I talked to the hint of Windstar fatigue in your voice right there. Right? Did I just understand that?
Windstar, Windstar has quickly become something of the, I think in racing, they're very quickly becoming kind of a Yankees, Dallas Cowboys-esque entity.
Well, you know, Justified beat the best crop of horses ever assembled in the Kentucky Derby this year.
Boy, oh boy, we got you. Yesterday, I had Andy kind of on the muscle, and I think we got you on the muscle here for closing day.
Very relaxed. I've only had one cup of coffee today. I'm still jet lagged from being in the Far East, which apparently
that's
never
right.
ends. You just
that's right.
I'm very I'm mildly on the muscle, I would have to say. And to be clear, I am voting for Justify to be Horse of the Year, despite some bad arguments from people maybe mildly or directly associated. I'm not buying a lot of the stuff that's being sold, but that doesn't mean that I won't support his candidacy for Horse of the Year after initially feeling like I'm gonna vote for Accelerate in that. Anyway, we're not talking about Horse of the Year. We're talking about Equivocal for Rudy Brissett, who was my mild choice in this maiden race, one of a bunch of appealing maiden races that I hope people have started digging into already if they're betting Saturday, because there are 14 races, 13 of which are very legitimate, and it's going to take some work to get through it with any sort of comprehensiveness.
Exactly, and especially given that there's five maiden specials and they, they're deep, full fields in each. Instead of chronologic order, we should jump to the 12th and talk about the other division.
Oh, okay.
of the maiden group. And here
sure.
again, you've got, you brought up, we brought up Windstar, we brought up Mandy Pope and so forth. I mean, there's major owners on display. I didn't even talk about the Benson West Point
horse. Big
day
horse for the Bensons, for GMB
right?
Racing. Big day for
yes.
them, yeah. And
you've also got
locally owned in this race who drew poorly for Al Stahl, who's just snake bit. What a record he's had at the meet. 36-1-15. 15 seconds. It's
unbelievable.
And
yeah,
stuff like this. Like, his horse is obviously live in the spot, and he draws the 11 hole. That's a tough draw at this distance at Fairgrounds for sure.
Hey, you bring up that horse. This is the $250,000 Keeneland Yearling out of 50 Shades of Hay by Distorted Humor, and this was a horse that we saw at Keeneland and looked like that was going to be the day, but ran into Federal Case, had run into Preamble, and then had that Cassie off the turf on closing weekend at Churchill in the slop.
Yeah, off
War
the grade one too.
yep.
Yeah,
that's
War
right.
Will is actually taking up residence at Fairgrounds for the LeCompte in January. Anyway, I mean, I think locally owned looks like a decent prospect. I couldn't play him. I couldn't advocate him on top at the price from the draw, with some other, potential in here. But he's not a horse that I'd be tossing in any way. I mean, the GMB horse I'm most excited about seeing on the day, obviously, is Tom's D'Etat. In the Tenacious Stakes, which he could be the marquee horse of the day. I'm hoping for the connections, and I'm just kind of a fanboy of the horse too. That he gets to show what he can do. I mean, can't believe he's just now making a Stakes debut. I don't know if you remember, Steve. He was in 2017. He was gearing up for the Woodward. After a really scintillating Saratoga allowance, third level allowance win, just destroyed that field, did it easily, and he got hurt like 5 days before the race. He'd already had his final work. He came out of the work bad, basically. And it's been a struggle, but if you look at the horse, and I remember seeing him before he even ran, he was very scopy, powerful built horse even then. He was always meant to be an older horse. I'm sure this is not how anybody, you know, designed his the arc of his career, but he could be formidable. I just hope he can stay sound long enough to progress, to get maybe three good races in a row and together and see where it takes him.
Well, and that's the hallmark of this card is the opportunity to get, you know, the pre-graded stake part of the program established, and horses can parlay. Before we move away from this maiden, I do want to point out, back in the 12th, Marcus, for a second, the presence of rotation down on the rail, making a turf to dirt move for Steve Asmussen and Ron Winchell. This is the Tappet out of the very productive Winchell mare, Free Spin, the daughter of Olympio, who has already had the likes of Tapiture, and there's another one. She's been super productive. You've got Samantha Siegel too. Got a nice one in here.
Yeah, Royal Medallion. I mean, rotation I thought was very interesting in the race. It's probably the horse I'm leaning toward. I mean, he should be a little bit under the radar and drift up to a fair price, I would imagine. And if you want to just to round out maybe the maidens, a couple, these won't be prices, I'm afraid, but that are going to get worth watching. The 13th, Cornacea for Brad Cox, that's been mentioned to me by a couple people. And then one of the stall first-timers, a $700,000 purchase. I'm going to forget the horse's name. I believe it's in the fifth.
Golden Tiger.
You've got it. Golden Tiger. When that race, though, looks, and I mean, I don't know. And the more I looked at it, the less I saw in that race. The Golden Tiger, it's been, it looks like he's been working well. But, I mean, there are a bunch of horses like that that can pop up in this day. Just hope that I really hope it's a dry track. The forecast was looking decent last I saw, so.
Good. That's
a nice,
good,
fair, dry track would be great to see what we can get out of this card.
Without a doubt. I do notice in that fifth that you bring up, you've also got Joe Sharp and Brad Grady, who, of course, have had no shortage of success together. They've got a great art colt making a debut, Kohet Rotho. You've got Louis Russell, who's dotting this card as well. Russell has got horses in that maiden 12th as well, and this fifth. You know, here, this Golden Tiger, to stop for a second, that you brought up, Starlight, who's suddenly partnering with everybody. This is a partnership between Spendthrift and Starlight.
Mm-hmm. I don't know the sales history of the horse, but somebody worked something out at some point. I think that the barn is looking forward to running this horse. Good to see Miguel Mena get on a horse like this. He's working his way back into the fold, coming back from that long injury layoff. And this, you know, getting a chance. I think he worked this horse before, so we'll see what he's got.
On that topic, by the way, any notes? Joe Bravo winning at a big clip, I know. And
well, he's been in and out a little bit. You know, he's been riding some stakes at other places, and Giroux has barely ridden there at all, riding out of town. So really, I mean, it's kind of like things haven't even really settled in fully yet in the jockey colony there. But you know, obviously James Graham had a really great run through the early part of the meet, and that has carried over to some extent. He's getting on a lot of horses right now.
It's funny, there were guys winning in bunches, and in fact, you and I touched on a couple of, maybe back in November, and Jack Gilligan had like a 10-day period where he won a hatful of races, and Bikiza, and you know, virtually everybody has had a spin or two when they've gotten hot. It's a thick jock room, Corey Lannery, of course, as well, and Valdivia,
who has, like, struggling to get on any live horses. Corey, too, is not, like, he hasn't taken off quite yet. And, you know, Santana's been riding there before Oakland starts. I assume he'll be going to Oakland. But he's been he's taken over the Asvison, most of the Asvison horses recently that I've seen. But if you recall last year, I mean, we had they had jockeys win, I can't remember what Naprovnik's highest number was, but well over 100, 120, 130 wins or something. And I want to say that last year the leading total was like 62, which just shows how spread out things have become,
right,
or were last year. And I think it's trending, obviously trending, in a very similar direction this year.
Well, and before we talk about the stakes, we'll also mention that there is one filly maiden group, and that goes in the second. Maiden's going three quarters, and I'm sure all eyes may aim toward Dreams Are Made. This is a John Secura bred Tappet filly that Breeze Easy bought for $500,000 at Keeneland, and Joe Sharp trains. Dreams Are Made.
Morning line maker is not thinking that.
Not impressed?
12 to 1 on the line.
Wow.
And I will one thing to note with Fairgrounds is the guy that makes the line also helps with the morning work. So sometimes you can do some correlation there in the way you're thinking about stuff. With horses like that, I mean, I always just wonder, like, you know, can they win at three quarters? Do they even want them to win at three quarters? I mean, yeah, you want to have an expensive horse with some pedigree do well right away. But one of the hardest things that can happen for a young horse is to win a sprint race first out, and then if they're meant to be a route horse, have to do the double jump of going against other winners and going long at the same time. That can be a lot to ask. And, I mean, some people get it more than others, it seems like, as far as developmental curves, but very often I feel like in the sport in America, we throw too much too soon at these horses and want them to be really good right away, and with all the, you know, the pressure to get on the Derby and the Oaks Trail this time of year, I don't know. Winning first out, it carries some detriments to it too, I think, for sure.
No, that's a point well made. And this is, you know, this is certainly a horse that's bred to be a good one. Not just the Tappet, but that Unbridled Song, Damn, that Siren Serenade. She's a
right. She's
a daughter of Versailles Treaty, and this one's got all kinds of FIPS power under her.
They've got there's no pick four starting on the second race, I guess, because the number of races. At least I'm not seeing one.
No, the first one starts, race four is the first. First race and the fourth race.
First race, right. So
yeah.
My only point here is I thought that this race, the second race, I looked up all the pedigrees and went through it as carefully as I could, and I think that it is a good race to try to fish for a price.
I will accept that approach, and I will note that you've got pick fours starting in race one, race four, race seven, and race 11. So four pick fours on this card.
Right.
And you better, boy, the race that you need to be right in, and maybe if Gunnett is everything that he's supposed to be, I guess you could maybe lean on him. But you better be right in race four Saturday, because it's the anchor of the first pick four, and it's the start of the second pick four. So you better make that one right. There's two allowances, too. The first, the opener is an allowance on the dirt, and then they go to the grass for the sixth. And those are both solid races. Let's run through the stakes, Marcus, and hit some highlights. Hit some home runs here. Come on.
Home runs. Boy, I don't know about that. I mean, where do you want? Give me some direction. Where do you want to
go
here?
We'll start with the Bonaparte.
Okay. There's no home runs. Well, there may be. I mean, but the problem is that the two most accomplished horses are dirt horses, Switzerland, and Windtime is the best horse in this race. He's an excellent sprinter, and the trainer and owner of the Stallion, 3 Hour Nap, Hugh Robertson, said he is inclined to run him on turf. if it stays on, which it seems like it probably will. It's kind of like a no-win situation with him. So, I mean, I think the other, the horse to me is Kitten's Cat, who's probably not going to be as high as 5-1. He's dropping in class, ran against some good horses in New York, had some trouble at Woodbine, has really come forward since being cut back by Maker to sprints. The question being, you know, is he quick enough to do the 5.5? But I'm not enthused about this race. There could be some scratches early on the card. It's one of the less appealing races on the day, although I always like to see what win time's going to do.
Kitten's Cat, a personal favorite. I had meant the other day, when there was so much to talk about with Steve Asmussen, I never got to Switzerland with him. But certainly Switzerland, you know, through the early part of 2018, looked like he was, you know, arcing somewhere, and then kind of the wheels kind of came off. Yeah,
he's over the top, I'm afraid. And Asmussen did a really good job, I think, getting a lot out of this horse through the year. He had a fine season. I think he maxed out what he can be. I don't see him going forward at all.
Mm. We'll turn to the Letelier, goes as the seventh. And
easily the best Letelier ever.
Well, it's got the horse that we love, that we talked to you, Robertson, about, Samilla's Sense of Snow. I think I brought her up with you, too.
Before she even ran, you brought her up, because she was...
Yeah.
We talked right before her debut, and she ended up... It turned out she's a runner. She's in pretty tough here, though. I mean, she's not... The allowance race she won, well, she's been off the turf both times. She doesn't run against very good horses, although I have been impressed with her. And Hugh wants her to get behind horses. He thinks she's very manageable. She's just wound up on the lead because she's fast. But there are... I mean, this is a tough race. Plenty of talent in this race. I kind of flew in the face of the potential pace, which could be hot. And right now I have Istan Council on top at a price, I hope. 12-1 on the line, I don't know, probably shorter than that, but Larry Jones's horses are running really well at this meet, and this horse might have had the best single race of anyone. That Keeneland maiden win was pretty forward, and may just have floundered in the swap last time at Churchill, but could get caught up in a hot pace, and there are definitely horses like Unholy Alliance and Bell's the One who have shown already a capability of sitting and finishing off the leaders and doing it well.
This is a nice group, you've got that first out winner too from Brendan Walsh. Hugo Girl, the Quality Road.
We got two of them. And Idle Hour also won first out at Fairgrounds, although that
that's right.
Not got a comfortable lead against a so-so group. I thought I would. You mentioned Hugo Girl first, and I would rate that one a bit higher, just personally. But I can't rate either one of them in my top three in this race. I mean, I think I was impressed with Bell's the One in both of her starts. I think that she's got a lot of talent, and it's hard to fault Unholy Alliance for Brad Cox, who also, you know, if a bunch of these horses go, which is possible, she's going to probably be a factor in the stretch. And I don't see how you can entirely discount Adventurous Lady for Asmussen, either the most accomplished horse in the race, who I wonder, I mean, she won at 6.5 at Remington, but she also is precocious and quick. I'm not going to poke holes in her. She's done a lot of good things already, and she definitely fits the spot. I do not appreciate the super wishy-washy morning line in this race. I believe there are 3 9-2 or 4 9-2. Oh, no. Lady TNT is listed as a 7-2 favorite. I don't see that at all. But anyway, I thought there were, I take it back. Morning line is fine.
back to Idle Hour for a second, because she was a filly that we talked to Brendan Walsh about, and listeners were the recipient of a 20 plus 22 $23 mutual on her debut. And it was, you know, it was strange, Marcus, that she went off at that price in that maiden win, because down the dusty road is a stake horse. I mean, and I was surprised when that happened. That was one of those nice opportunities as the end of the year was approaching. Let's talk about the blushing KD and Marlon the 16th. Some very familiar names in here.
Sure. I mean, I would prefer to take these chains, but there's no way that I would take something like the morning line 3-1 on this horse stepping up, even though I thought she ran really well in her comeback race for Starford Cox. I guess, I have no strong opinions here. They're all like, this is a tough blend of horses. Beau Recall, I suppose, obviously facing a little bit easier having run into Vasilika, but it's not. I mean, I talked to the trainer about her. She's been working okay. Not that it means anything in the end, but he didn't seem especially pumped about her. I'm Betty G. You would think like she has to get the lead. She didn't run well at Fairgrounds last time. I think there's some other pace. Prada Sweet Ride, I definitely think rates a chance. She maybe she's a dirt horse, or maybe she's just in good form. She has a lot of excuses through this year. And she is not as surprising as her Fall City would maybe seem on the surface. But she's six and super exposed. You know what you're going to get there. I would say the one with upside would be Stidham's horse, Superiority Complex, who... Mm-hmm. Didn't have great form overseas, but looked all right. And then you've got the all-weather race at Woodbine, which she probably wasn't at her best. That she maybe didn't just stay the mile and a half at Keeneland. And her other two races were wins, and she got a good trip last time for sure, but she definitely made the most of it, was a very decisive winner of a two other than maybe, like, she's a four-year-old filly, only a handful of U.S. starts, could get a good trip. She could be the right horse for this race.
The Tenacious, the boys go the mile in 70, and again, we got some horses that we've seen in different guises. You talked about Tom's Detat, but Snapper Sinclair for Jeff Bloom and Steve Asmussen, of course, made his broach toward the Derby. It didn't work out last year. He's still, I think, trying to find an identity.
Yeah, he's not a turf sprinter. I think that's been, he didn't look like it at Keeneland. He ran well last time. The horse that beat him, Lone Rock, came back and won the stakes race. I think if you're, from a betting perspective, either you're not playing or you're beating Tom Zetas, who is going to be a very, very heavy favorite, heavier than his morning line odds, and will be heavily played in multi-race wagers too. So, he's too short to lean on, and he doesn't do much wrong when he gets to the races, but he doesn't get to the races that often. I think that he's going to run well, but I'm not going to bet on him. I mean, to me, the two would be Snapper Sinclair and Thirst for Life if you're looking at it logically, but if you think that it's a race with a huge chaos element because the favorite can be beaten, then you're bound to dig a little bit deeper and find some tertiary options, I think, too.
The Buddy Diliberto, mile and a 16th. And, we've got some very accomplished horses. Sir Dudley Diggs, who goes everywhere. And
How is he not, 12 by now?
I know, right? He's only 5. It feels like he's been around forever.
won the 1938 Queen's Plate.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Well, Brad Cox is—he's got Arclo and Mr. Misunderstood turned out in Florida, and so I think big changes is the hope for the winter here. He comes off one of his best races where he was just beaten by Mr. Misunderstood. You have to think that. Well, the Churchill course this fall was obviously a turf track that a lot of horses didn't get over especially well. And if you could handle it, then you had an advantage. Plus, he got away with, he just was walking on the lead last time. But I'm not going to entirely hold that against him. It's just that, he's going to be a short number, too. And I don't know that he's got much of an edge on several others. A great wide open, they just pounded that horse last time, went off at 7-5. He was very impressive, also gifted an easy lead that he made the most of, but he's got limited exposure going two turns. Does he have to have the lead? I think he might be higher than 7-2. I think Teodoro is a little bit interesting. You know, I can kind of just toss his lone American start. He's got, he's got some improvement in him too, I think, at a price. I mean, I guess what it's coming to for me, another horse I mean, worth mentioning is Memory Bank, who had no chance to catch Great Wide Open and has been, I think, solidly progressive in a quiet way through this year. Another good Illinois bred for Stidham. He's a horse that I would definitely consider using too. I'm not going to be leaning too heavily on any single participant in the Buddy Diliberto Memorial.
Well, that gets us to, in some ways, really the focal feature amongst this nice group of $75,000 stakes, the Sugar Bowl. And we are approaching Sugar Bowl festival time, and this group of two-year-olds that has made, this is an accomplished bunch. You know, for people who seem to think that, we don't campaign our two-year-olds, you got a bunch of horses here making their fifth and sixth starts, nobody has made less than two starts in this group, and we've got some horses that have looked pretty good while avoiding the heavy heads, and that includes Super Steed on the outside for Larry Jones. There's Gray Attempt for Jinx Fires, and then there's a couple others that are, that we have seen in some stakes company, and Wayne Catalano was with us a couple of weeks ago, and he was excited about getting Manny Waz's three-year-old campaign started, and picks up the ball here, the Will Take Charge Cold for Mrs. Moulton.
Yeah, he mentioned the horse to me, too, a couple of weeks ago, and he may be seeing something I'm not seeing. Look, he worked fast at Fairgrounds. I'm not backing him. I'm limiting this to two horses for me, and that'd be Super Steed and Hog Creek Hustle. Super Steed lost first time out, but he ran a tremendous race, I thought, at Keeneland with a big middle move. And then I'd love to see a horse progress off of that sort of promise, like the way he did second time out. I feel like he's in a good good development pattern, got a good draw on the outside. I don't see why he wouldn't run very competitively, and I think the talent is obviously there. Hog Creek Hustle isn't, just draw a line through his Iroquois for whatever reason. His two sprint races were excellent, and he is the right horse to pick up some pieces in this long stretch if a lot of the speed shows up. Although, to be fair, Deep Closers did not do very well at Fairgrounds.
It's a terrific Saturday at Fairgrounds, and should really launch into the 2019 season.
It is excellent for that, isn't it? Just kind of like the gates to the turning of the calendar, and hopefully, I mean, this is supposed to be like the fourth or fifth best day of the meet. It bodes well for the January, February, and March multi-stakes programs that they'll be putting on.
Very much. And on that topic, for those that are, because I just happen to have it in front of me, and I, for my own planning purposes, February 19th is Risen Star Day, and Louisiana Derby Day is March 23rd. So either of those are fabulous weeks. Usually Risen Star is on one side or the other of Mardi Gras, and I think we may head there again this year, Marcus, for Risen Star Week.
Excellent. I'll see you there.
Looking forward to that, and I'm sure Jay. Although I haven't heard Jay's official calendar yet, but usually he likes to get a Louisiana Derby in on his tromping nationwide. Marcus, some final year-end thoughts from you, and if you would.
Year-end thoughts. boy. You really shouldn't open the cabinet that wide. But, I don't know. I mean, obviously there are a lot of problems. It's still a really interesting sport. be nice if, I don't know, let's just start with the low-hanging fruit. There's a lot of easy stuff to be done, and most of all, find a way to take care of these horses that are no longer able to race and have some birth-to-death planning that ameliorates our problems with finding what to do with race horses that are off the track. Most of all, you know, make it a safe sport for the humans and the animals that are participating to the greatest extent possible within the constraints of society and the system. I mean, that's probably the most important thing.
Nice. Absolutely. Nice. Beyond that,
Happy New Year.
Beautiful. Marcus, this was great. I really appreciate it, and have a wonderful holiday season, and a happy new year. Lots of winners, and look forward to talking and seeing you soon.
You bet. Thanks, Steve. Take it easy.
Marcus Hirsch, folks, DRF Hirsch, with a comprehensive look. That's our weekend preview special for Saturday's card at Fairgrounds. Really good. Irresistible. Let's take a break. A little past the top of the hour, we'll get a segment in with Tony Black. We'll get Tony's year-end benediction, as it were. Tony Black, Steve Haskin, Hammer, Rich Eng, Casey and I. Season ending. At the Races for 2018. Back after this.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get five full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF past performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for five of today's top tracks. Visit DRF.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens.